Good morning, church. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we will read together from verse 9 to verse 18. Those who are using the ESV, a few Bibles, it is page 996. In the title of this message this morning, Stand to the End. Stand to the End. It reads as follows. We're reading from verse 9 to 18. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Trios, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexandra, the coppersmith, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourselves, for he strongly opposed our message. At my friend's defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Sometimes when we say stand to the end, it sounds like a command. It sounds like you are instructing. But actually this is an encouragement. The Apostle Paul writes this letter from a prison cell. He writes to encourage Timothy. He writes in the midst of his own suffering. He writes to encourage this young believer, this young pastor, to be faithful in the Lord, also to persevere in the things of God, to persevere in the faith. He writes so that Timothy can develop his God-given gift to take the word of God very serious, especially in preaching the word and proclaiming the word of God, regardless of the personal attacks that Timothy was suffering and regardless of the direct attacks that the gospel itself was suffering at the time. The Apostle Paul wants to encourage this young pastor. Listen to what he says. Make sure you always keep your eyes in your Bible. Keep your eyes in the Bible. Look at what he says here in chapter number 1, verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. Listen to these words. He says, follow the pattern of the sound words that we have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ. So Paul encourages Timothy to be strong, actually. He encourages Timothy later on, or earlier on in this letter, to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, and thus become an approved worker by God. God will approve him as a good worker if he will endure the suffering of the time and persevere in all the things that were happening. I think, friends, this is the best encouragement there is. To be encouraged to be strong, to be encouraged to stand, to be encouraged to be faithful. I do receive great encouragement myself I have friends who understand the difficulty of ministry, especially here in Olivan. Baba Ras encourages me. Brother Shimi encourages me. You also encourage me by coming to this church week by week to hear and to learn from the very Bible that we read each and every week. My friend Sbu sent me a message a few weeks ago encouraging me to stand by the truth, to keep on persevering to the end. My friend Pastor Newton Chiringulu from Malawi, you know him. He encourages me. Most of my friends encourages me. Why? Because it is good to encourage the minister. It is good to encourage Christians in difficult time. That is what Paul wants to do. He wants to encourage this young pastor and also encouraging the church as they read this letter to this pastor to stand by the truth, to be strong and courageous, to share in the suffering of Christ, to labor as good soldiers of Christ, and to stand faithfully for the gospel. In chapter 4, where we are, it's Paul's encouraging farewell to Timothy. Look at verse 6 and verse 7 before we get to our text. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." This is Paul's encouraging farewell to Timothy. Paul is aware that death is around the corner for him, and the best thing to do is to encourage this young pastor, Timothy, who will be left alone. And Paul here is going to use his personal testimony to show Timothy that at the end of the day, after all the discouragements and unfaithfulness of men, Jesus is faithful. We will see that in a minute. Jesus is faithful, and he will never leave nor forsake his people. Jesus is faithful to those who are faithful in ministry and in life in general. Jesus is faithful to the Christian who stands by the truth even when it calls them to stand alone. So as you read verse number 9, you can hear that Paul wishes that Timothy will come and visit him as soon as possible. Because Paul needs a friend. We all need a friend. In ministry, you need a friend. In the Christian life, you need a friend. You need someone who's a Christian whom you will share your struggle with. You cannot be a lone runner. So Paul needs Timothy to come to him as soon as possible. But Paul also understands that Timothy has his own challenges in life. Timothy has his own challenges in the ministry. So he wants to encourage Timothy first by using his own personal testimony. He wants to encourage Timothy by using his testimony. And in his testimony, we see three forms of encouragement that I want us to deal with this morning. Three forms of encouragement in this testimony of the Apostle Paul. In these farewell words, these goodbye words of the Apostle. Firstly, it is an encouragement from bad example. That doesn't mean you must be encouraged by bad examples, but you will see, you need to learn from bad example and draw out encouragement from that. So we see first an encouragement from bad example. We read verse 10. Verse 10 says, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Chrysen has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia." Skip a little bit. Look at verse 14 to 16. It says there, "Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them." in the verses that we've just read, Paul has three bad examples which we should learn from and finally be able to say, that is not faithfulness. That is not what I want to be. That is not how I want to be known for. Three bad examples. On top of the list, you have a man with the name of Demas. Demas is a man who ministered with the Apostle Paul. The Bible says, Demas, in love with the present world, he deserted Paul. We sense it that there was still a connection and unity between Demas and the present world. There were still spiritual similarities between the world and Demas who was in the church. Just like me and my wife are in love with one another. There is something that keeps us together. Even when we scratch each other as people do, but we cannot escape that there is this thread. There is this thread that keeps us together. There is this thread that binds us together so that maybe one, we are in love with one another, regardless of anything. So it was with Demas and the world. There was a kind of a thread that kept Demas still connected to the world. He walked with the Apostle Paul for many, many days. For so many times he preached with him. Almost everyone was convinced that Demas was a genuine believer. But only to find out that Paul could take Demas out of the world, but Paul could not take the world out of Demas. And consequently, Demas returned back to the world of sin. This man pretended to be a Christian, but as soon as Satan opened the back door to the world, he was out the back door and went back to remarry the world of sin. Paul uses a phrase there. He loved this present world. What does that mean? He loved this age. He loved this perishing world rather than the world to come. There's a contrast. He loved something and hated something. He loved this world than the world to come. So, because of his love of the world, he will not stand for the gospel, and he will not stand side by side with those who are standing up for the gospel. So this man was not faithfully committed to the end. You have people who are committed but not faithfully committed to the end. A bad example, Demas was not committed to the end. So he saw greener pastures deep in the midst or in the middle of a sewage. Because that's what the world is. Stinking with sin. Demas saw greener pastures, then he went there. To him, all of a sudden, the gospel didn't make sense. All of a sudden, he did not believe that this world is a sinking ship. All of a sudden, he didn't believe that this is a world of sin and destruction. All of a sudden, he didn't believe that there is a glorious world to come, an age to come, where those who live or who keep on living in perpetual sin will not enter. All of a sudden, the message of the gospel meant nothing anymore to this man who once professed to be a Christian. He did not care anymore about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father, according to Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. Christ came to deliver us from this present age, but Demas loved this present age. And I want you to notice, friends, that Paul does not say that Demas loved the cosmos. It doesn't mean that Demas was standing and looking and says, I love the way Thessalonica is structured than the way Ephesus is structured.
I love the way the atmosphere of Thessalonica than the atmosphere of Corinth. Or I prefer Joburg than Pretoria. So I'm going to move to Joburg and find a church in it. This is not the case. He loved the present world. It's not like I'm finding a new job, now I must move because it's far. I cannot make it anymore. No, the Bible says he loved this present world. He preferred the world that is now than the world that is to come, as I was saying. He did not prefer, in other words, to be in Thessalonica than to be in Jerusalem. He loved the Ahio, the Greek word. I don't know how to pronounce it. It says Ahio, maybe. But that means the age. That's why normally I don't say these Greek words. But it's important that you know it's not about cosmos or environment. He loved the world. In other words, he chose to belong to this fallen world. He loved the system of this world. He loved the system of the time. He loved Judaism rather than loving Christianity. If this was Peter writing, Peter would have called him a dog who went back to eat its own vomit. That's Apostle Peter. A dog who goes back to eat something that he vomited it out, forgetting that the reason that you vomited that thing out, it is because that thing was not good for your system. It was not healthy for you. How dare you go back to consume such disgusting thing that you yourself said it was disgusting. That is why you vomited out. That is why, church, once you forsake sin, do not go back to sin. Once you forsake false religion, do not go back to false religion. Do not go back to the false teachers, the servants of Satan out there. Those people telling stories and prophesying junk each and every week. Those people, friends, they love the world. If you follow those people, you yourself love the world. Demas love the world. Don't be like Demas. Rather, forsake the world and cling to Jesus. Forsake the world and be in Christ. He encourages Timothy through his testimony, because Paul did not forsake Christ. Then there's another bad example. In verse number 15, he speaks of Alexander. This man, not only did he love the present world, the Bible tells us that this man did great harm to the Apostle Paul. What is the great harm? You may think that this man threw a spear at him. No, he did not. The man opposed the gospel. Friends, I need to tell you, the greatest harm a man can do is to oppose the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To stand against the truth and mock the Savior. To lie about the truth of Christianity and put people to death, perhaps because of the gospel. That is the greatest harm a man can do. To deny that Jesus is the only way to God. To deny that only the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To come against everything that the church stands for. That was Alexandra. Paul says, beware of such a person. Such a people are evil people. So friends, an evil person is not just the murderer out there. It is not just the thief and a rapist out there. Every person who denies the gospel and come against the gospel verbally, forcefully, aggressively against the gospel of God, he is an enemy of God and he is evil. Do not be like them. Paul says in verse 14, towards the end of verse 14, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. There is great judgment to those who stand against the gospel. It may be at school, it may be at work, it may be through education, it may be through advertising, it may be through anything. God will bring great judgment upon the people who stand against the gospel. Do not be like them. In verse 16, we see yet another bad example. This bad example is closer to us. We need to get it right. We see the Christian who will not stand up for the truth.
They will believe what you say is true, but they will not stand up in support of what you say. They will not stand up in support for the truth, regardless of the fact that they believe that you are right. And friends, that is unfaithfulness. It is unfaithfulness to the gospel. It is unfaithfulness to Jesus. It is unfaithfulness to fellow believers. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in verse 16. He says, "At my defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them." So Paul says, when he stood up for Jesus, no one stood by him. When he stood up for Jesus, no one came to encourage him. No one strengthened him. No one was there for him to share the suffering and the challenges of ministry and life. This probably happened sometimes when Paul was still in his first or earlier ministry or first journeys and so on. This is perhaps when it happened. But the bottom line is he was left alone by Christians, believers. Not now Demas, who does not believe, or Alexandra, but the fellow believers, leaving another fellow believers to suffer alone. That is not what God has called us to be. A people who leaves one another behind to suffer. And friends, you need to know that is the reality of this life. Do not expect to always have people with you. Do not expect to always have a company with you, people around you. Yes, I understand that sometimes as a people, as a person, you want to know, you want to feel that people are on your side. As a person, you want to feel and you want to know that people support you. As a person, you want to know and feel that people will not let you down. I want to know that Baba Ras, who assists me in the church, will not let me down. I want to know that Pastor Baba Shimi will not let me down. I want to know that you will not let me down. But that doesn't mean you must count on people. There will be a time where you will have to stand alone. The Bible says here, that according to the words of the Apostle Paul, he actually tells us that people deserted him, the Christians. But what we are not told is the reason why the Christian deserted him. We are not told. We can assume it was fear. Because when the going gets tough, people disappear. Maybe it was fear. But perhaps it was what is happening around today. People who does not want to be committed. There are people who does not want to commit to the ministry. People who doesn't want to commit to the work of God. They will agree, let's do it. Let's stand together. But when it's about time to stand, people are not there to be found. We don't know why they didn't stand with the Apostle Paul. But I can tell you, friends, that is not an acceptable attitude in the house of God. Do not be like that. But there's something else that we learn here. There's a lesson that we can have here. Is that at times, as I was saying, you will have to stand alone. This is encouraging, friends, because you are made aware that such things are bound to happen in this life as we are on our journey to heaven. We are made aware that the Christian life is not an easy ride where we just keep riding alone without the heat and the attacks of Satan and his demon against you. No, this is not like that. Sometimes you will be surrounded by a world loving people. Sometimes you'll be surrounded by people who will pretend that they love Jesus as you do, but actually they don't. Sometimes you'll be surrounded by those who only wants to harm you by coming against the gospel that has been preached. People want to oppose the gospel. But do not start to conform to the standard of the world just because you feel we are standing alone. Do not compromise the gospel for the sake of having friends around you. Be strong and stand to the end. But secondly, an encouragement that we see secondly is an encouragement from divine example.
We saw encouragement from bad example. Do not be like these people. Now we look at an encouragement from a divine example. We look at that from verse 17 to 18. Put your eyes back into the scripture. Verse 17 to 18 says, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever." The Apostle Paul says, the Lord stood by me. Remember, man deserted him, man forsook him, but now someone else stood by him. That is the man you want him to stand by you. The Lord stood by me. The Lord did not forsake me. The Lord is not like man. He does not leave his own. He sticks to his own. The Lord was by my side. Here you have the sense as you read this text in the Greek again. We have a sense here that the Lord came and took a stand by Paul's side. It's like Jesus was standing by him. That's what he felt when men forsook him. Paul could feel strength coming back unto his life. Paul felt a sudden strength in the midst of perplexity and despair. In times of sorrow and pain, Jesus stood by his side. He says, he strengthened me. That's what he says in your Bible. He strengthened me. Men forsook me, and I felt lonely and alone. But God strengthened me. Jesus strengthened me. What does that mean? It means that Jesus poured his power unto me. I could feel the power of the Holy Spirit lifting me up as man was pushing me down. I was able then from that time onwards to do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Because Christ alone can strengthen me. Man cannot strengthen you. Man can encourage you. Man can discourage you. But to strengthen, this is a spiritual ministry of Jesus to lift up those who need to be lifted up. So, in times of rejection and desertion by men, Paul says, I did not become self-sufficient. This is the problem we have today, church. In times of trouble, we want to be self-sufficient. We want to look at ourselves. What can I do? We want to exhaust all our resources before we run to Jesus. We want to call a friend to come around. First, remember, Jesus will never leave nor forsake his people. He should be number one on our list on the speed dial. Using today's words, he's the one that we must call first, because he alone can strengthen us. So Paul says, in the midst of all this, I did not become self-sufficient. I could not trust in myself, because I know I am weak. I cannot stand by myself. I cannot do anything for myself, less to trust on myself. If I cannot stand, how can I trust on myself? So I found the Lord Jesus Christ to be more reliable and present in such times of destruction. Jesus is more reliable and present in times of destruction, in times of challenges. I found Jesus to be. He strengthened me. Paul says, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. That can refer to deliverance from death, but not just death at the hands of Nero, who was an emperor at the time. Nero, who burnt Christian at the stake. This man will grab Christian and throw them to lions to devour them in the eyes of people. I was saved from the mouth of the lion. I was saved from Satan himself, who roams around looking for someone to devour. I was saved from Nero, who threw many people in lion's den, and went the following day to see if God did what he did in the book of Daniel, but he could find only bones. But I was saved from this lion's mouth because Christ is with me. Church, the bottom line here is that Christ stands by his people because Jesus knows those who are his. So despite the rejection by men, Christ keeps the Christian unmovable, unshakable, untouchable. He stands by our side so that we'll be able to persevere throughout all challenges and trials and temptations of our life. Here is what I want to say. If you don't have Jesus by your side, you may have as many people, friends and family standing by you, but for the fact that you don't have Jesus standing by your side, you are standing alone. On the other side, if you have Jesus standing with you, you may have the whole world, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, anybody that you love, you may have all of these people coming against you, but for the sake that Christ is standing by you, you are not alone. Paul says he was not alone. Remember Stephen in the book of Acts chapter number 7? He was left alone when he was stoned, not because Christians abandoned him, but the point I want to bring here is that he was left alone. Yet, as you read there, Jesus was by his side. He was by his side. Remember his words. Let me read for you. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. These are the words of Stephen. We know these words. Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I don't see men around me supporting me anymore. Everyone has fled to his own house. Everybody ran away from me. I am stoned alone. I'm in trouble alone. I'm challenged alone. But yet, as I open my eyes of faith, I see the Lord Jesus standing, showing that he's on my side. I see him. It says here, behold, I see the heavens. They open. Just to show that God is on his side. Only God can open the heavens. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, God opens the heaven and the voice came down. This is my beloved Son. God alone can open the heavens. Here is God opening the heavens. As the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God, showing that he's standing on Stephen's side. Jesus stood by him. Although Stephen was not rescued, humanly speaking, he was stoned to death. But here is a great encouragement from the Apostle Paul in verse 18 of our text. He says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. What is Paul talking about? Stephen was stoned to death. He is about to die. He knows that. But he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. What is he talking about? When and how will this Lord rescue him? Friends, here we need to see that Paul is not much worried about the situation of his life, the situation that he is in right now. He's not worried about that. Why? Because there is a God in heaven who is looking after him. So even if he dies in such a challenging situation, he will lose nothing, simply because the very Jesus who raised him from the death in sin will also help him and strengthen him to triumph, encourage him, empower him to triumph over death, and then go on through death, through eternal life, and meet the Savior and see him face to face. Jesus will lead him to triumph over death. Paul says, I will be saved from this evil world. I will be saved from the torments I endure because of the wickedness of this world. Remember last week, wickedness tormenting the believer because of what is happening. He says, I will be saved even from the torments, the spiritual torments I feel as I see evil in this world. This is a man full of faith. Now he uses this testimony of God's faithfulness, that this testimony may become encouragement to others. That is why, my friend, each and every one of us must have something of testimony about God's hand in his own or her own personal life, and then continue to trust God. Which is why Paul says in this verse then, he's longing for that heavenly kingdom. He's looking forward to the things to come. He's not like Demas, who looked back to what is behind. Paul is looking forward to the things to come. He cannot wait to see Jesus face to face. He has confidence in this. You yourself must have confidence if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the problem is today, many people have no confidence. And those who claim to have confidence, they're just lying to themselves sometimes. People don't have confidence where they will spend their eternity. But those who claim they have confidence, you ask them, when you die, where do you think you shall be? Almost invariably, 99% people will say, I will be in heaven. The 0.1% is the people who does not answer. But everyone wants to be known as a person who will die and go to heaven. But here's the question. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you turned from your wickedness? Have you turned from your wicked ways? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Are you born from above? Does your life testify to that fact? As people look at you, do you look like someone who is saved? Do you love God? Do you love the brethren? Do you hate sin? Do you delight in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you live to worship only Him and Him alone? Do you live to praise His holy name? Definitely the answer is no to many. But they will say, no, but God is gracious. No one is perfect. God will understand. Friends, that is true. No one is perfect, but God will not understand. The question is then, has the perfect righteousness of Christ been imputed unto you? Has the perfect righteousness of Christ been infused unto you? That is the great question. Have you seen your sins as high as a mountain, as red as the scarlet, as red as blood? Have you seen your sin? Have you come to realize that Jesus alone can rescue you? Have you then ran away from that wicked life of sin and ran straight to the arms of Jesus and embraced Him as the Holy God? Lift up your eyes unto Him, cling to that old rugged cross and confessed your sin. Have you done that, my friend? Because only then you are ready to die. Because dying without death is just a fast forward button to the wrath of God. Paul is confident about his future. Are you? Because Jesus is faithful. He will not forsake his own. And Jesus proved that by standing on Paul's side. That is why Paul, earlier on in chapter number 1, verse 12, he says, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I am confident that He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. Because Paul knows that Jesus is faithful. That is the message he wants to leave with Timothy. That is the message of confidence that he wants to leave with each and every one of us. Regardless of the disappointing life that we live, regardless of the disappointments of all of life which are bound to happen, because disappointments are bound to happen. But at the end of the day, friends, here it is, it may seem as a Christian that you're standing alone. But you need to know, you are not standing alone. It may seem that in your family maybe you are the one who loves the Lord and you're standing alone. We are not standing alone. Jesus is standing by your side. Jesus' hand of mercy, the Savior's hand, is locked on your wrist. He will never let you go. He's carrying you up above the troubles of this world. He's ready to set you up in that kingdom, His everlasting kingdom. We are not alone. So rather, look unto Jesus. Look away from fellow men. Look away from Demas. Look away from Alexandra. Look away from anyone. Look unto Jesus. Only He can stand by your side. Paul's friend is not saying we must be like Jesus. But what is Paul saying? We need to know Jesus' faithfulness. We need to know that He's always standing side by side by those who trust in Him. So that you may be strong and stand faithfully for the truth. Thirdly, the third encouragement is an encouragement from personal spiritual example. Now, not from bad example, not from divine example. Now Paul points to himself, a personal example, but it's a spiritual example. At this point, friends, I want to show you how useless it is to be bound by physical chains when you are being freed from spiritual chains. Because it is possible in this world that you may be bound by physical chains, but if you are freed from spiritual chains, that is worthless. Paul is in prison. Paul is in chains. But I want you to see his attitude. I want you to look at his personal spiritual example. Look at the legacy he wants to leave behind. The legacy that Timothy needs to follow. In verse 13, he speaks of things that Timothy must bring to him when he comes. He mentioned his cloak, his big cloak. Today we will call it the big jacket. But it was expensive. But in the midst of that is not what Paul really wants alone. He speaks of books and parchments. The parchments were writings on a leather made kind of a scroll, but made with expensive leather. So here, Paul wants to show Timothy the importance of reading the Word of God. In the midst of trouble, in the midst where death is at the corner, Paul still wants to read the Word of God. Paul still wants to know more about God. You have no gun in your head. You have no trouble in your life. What is stopping you for wanting to read the Word of God? Paul wants to read the Word of God in the midst of trouble and in chain. He wants to leave that kind of a legacy to this Timothy, who is his son, so that Timothy may imitate the Apostle Paul, who groomed him. And only then Timothy will be able to stand. You can only be able to stand in this world if you read the Word of God. That's the only way. You can only be able to be faithful in this world if you study the Word of God. Once you know how faithful God is, you will be encouraged to be faithful. So he says, when you come, bring the books in verse number 13. And the books here he's talking about is probably copies of the Old Testament. And then maybe some copies of the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know. But definitely the Old Testament. What does that tell you? If you want to encourage people, you need to encourage them to read the Word of God. So if I would stand here and say I'm preaching an encouraging message today, I'm talking about me telling you about Jesus one more time. That is the greatest encouragement. Encourage people to read the Word of God. You can encourage them by telling them, or either you must do it yourself daily before them. So Timothy must know the life of Paul before Timothy can be encouraged and be strengthened and persevere to the end like the Apostle Paul. That is the key. Friends, studying the Word of God is spiritually armory. It is the spiritual armor. Studying the Word of God, it is to be protected spiritually. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, what you have in verse number 10. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and in strength, in the strength of his might. Why? Or how? Not why, actually. How? Take, number 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You want to stand like a soldier? Take the word of God. That is the example Paul wants to live. But I want us to briefly consider verse number 18, the last part of verse 18. Paul there encourages Timothy to follow a spiritual example, but now by worshiping Jesus in the midst of trouble. He sings this great doxology at the last, on that last part of verse 18. Paul writes, actually he sings it from within. He writes and he says, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, people deserted Paul because of Jesus. But regardless of the fact that people reject him because of Jesus, he lifted up his soul unto heaven and he burst into worship, saying, Jesus, you all that I need, you all that I have, Jesus, all the glory and honor belongs to you. Unlike us, when we are pressed between a mountain and a rock, what do? We complain. We don't burst into worship. Paul says, Jesus, you are everything to me. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Jesus stands by me. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does glory mean? Glory means it refers here to honor. To him be the honor. It refers to dignity. It refers to praise. To him be the praise forevermore. Forever means eternally. It means an extended age, the age to come, a world without end. So to him be the unending dignity, honor and praise throughout all ages. Amen. What does amen mean? Amen means surely. It means indeed. It is so. So it is, amen is just a declaration of the truthfulness of the preceding statement. So Paul says, indeed it is so. All the honor and glory belongs to our God. Who am I then not to give God honor and glory? Who am I not to say, forever may it be your honor and praise our God throughout eternity? The question is, my friend, there's the question. Will you say such words in times of trouble? Where there seems to be no end of your sorrow and praying, will you say the same way? Will you worship Jesus when you have labored so hard in the ministry or wherever you have labored for God, hoping that God one day will heal you or your son or someone? Will you say the same things when you realize it has not yet happened? Will you say the same way? Will you worship Jesus even when you have prayed and prayed for God to rescue you from something, but the only thing that seems to be coming closer and quicker than anything else is death? Will you worship God and worship Jesus in times like that? That is Paul. Will you learn from him? Will you learn to worship Jesus regardless of any situation before you? Will you learn to worship Jesus in tears and sorrow, in suffering and pain, but full of joy in the heart? The joy of knowing him. The joy of knowing your everlasting future with him in his heavenly kingdom. So regardless of the time, regardless of a place, regardless of who abandons and who joins you, regardless of whether your friends, your family continues to love you or not, lift up your voice, shout to the Lord, sing for joy at the work of his hands. As you realize that you have been saved, sing for joy, stand firm, stand by him, stand in him. For nothing compares to the glory that is to come. Nothing compares to the promises that are yours in Jesus Christ, because they are all amen in him. Nothing compares to everything. Nothing compares to the fact that one day he shall call you to his everlasting home. He will call you to his heavenly kingdom, where you will be free, where you will be rescued from sin, the world of sin, the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the life of sin, the body of sin, you'll be rescued. So Timothy, my son, sometimes you'll be lonely, but you are not alone. Be faithful, stand. Sometimes you will feel weak, you will feel down, you will feel out, but you are not alone. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Worship Jesus. Take your eyes and your hope away from fellow men. Cling to the old rugged cross. Fix your eyes to the crown, not the crowd. In verse 16, we see Paul's spiritual example. He says, he prays actually for the believers who abandoned him. In verse 16, he says, may it not be charged against them. Paul is praying. This is a good man. That is what we need to pray. May it not be charged against them. They have deserted me, but may the Lord keep on blessing them. But let me tell you, friends, the guilt will always be with you. The guilt will be with you should you purposely leave behind a Christian who is in need. The guilt will be with you, regardless of the fact that God may not count that sin against you. But you will live a life of sorrow because you will be consumed with guilt. So stand for the truth. Stand for the gospel. Stand for Jesus, because Jesus will stand by your side. Stand up for the gospel, because your stand for the gospel is a token sometimes. It is a token of grace to the unsaved. Look at verse 17. Your stand for the gospel is a token of grace. Verse 17 says, Jesus stood by me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all Gentiles might be saved. So friends, for salvation of the nation, for salvation of your friends, your brother, your mother, your sister, your cats, and everything that may be saved. I'm not saying cats can be saved, but everything that belongs to you. For salvation of that, God can only use those who are faithful. God can only use those who stand for the truth. Stand to the end. Here is my conclusion. Don't let your Christian brother feel isolated in this journey of Christianity while we're looking forward to heaven. Don't let any Christian feel isolated. We need to be a community of believers. We need to encourage one another. Use your personal testimony in Christ to strengthen one another. Stand by the truth. Stand by one another. Comfort and encourage one another to worship King Jesus to your remaining days here on earth. You also must learn from bad examples. Flee from the sin of falling back to the world. Use the bad examples to teach your children and to teach one another, saying, do not be like that. Use that bad example. Do not be like Demas. Do not forsake the gospel and the church for the world. Do not be like Alexander. Do not harm the church. Do not be like the Christian who will not stand. Christian who are silent when it is time to stand for the truth. Look unto Jesus. He stands side by side with his people. And one day he will rescue you from this evil world. One day he will rescue you from the evil deeds of the world and take you home, so that where he is, you may be also. Be faithful and stand to the end. Worship Jesus even in the midst of the fire. Worship Jesus. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.